What's up, everybody? My name is Matt, and this is episode number 89 of the Nintendo Fever Podcast. Oh my goodness, it has finally been revealed and told upon us what is going to be in the Switch and what the Switch is all about, and that's what this show is going to be all about. But before we get started into all the craziness, we have to, of course, say hello to my wonderful co-host who I'm going to switch over to. Holly, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I feel like we should call this podcast, at least for this week, like the Switch Fever Podcast. Because we're all having a Switch Fever right now.
We should switch around, and you should host, and I'll be the co-host, right?
It's too late for that. Unless we want to have another introduction.
No. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the wonderful Switch edition of the podcast, and I am just absolutely, I'm so excited. I'm trying to gather
You're
my thoughts
speechless.
Enough to start the intro of the podcast, basically. But overall, I was happy with the presentation. You know, that's the first thing I want to say is I was happy with the presentation. I was glad it was an hour. I thought we learned a ton of information. I mean, what are your, like, just to the very simplifiedness way that you would say about what you felt about the presentation?
Oh, the presentation itself. Just really quick, like, one of the things that really stuck out to me was, I don't remember his name, but the lead hardware developer of the Switch. Again, I don't remember his name, but he was on a lot. He'd be the kind of in between where he'd be like, now let's switch to this, and he'd snap, and he kind of showed us the Joy-Cons. I feel like he did a really good job in his little sketches and his little skits.
He did have a great personality.
Yeah, so and it kind of made me think, like, oh my gosh, like almost like an Iwata replacement in a way, kind of being like the charisma, I suppose, in some ways of this presentation anyway. But, you know, it kind of made me miss Iwata and all of his quirky little, you know, skits that he would do. So yeah, I thought he did a great job. So that's just the first kind of initial thing that came to my mind when you asked that question. But overall, good presentation. Some awkward moments, some slow moments, but good overall. I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah, I guess we should probably start this podcast the exact same way that the presentation started, with the facts. I like how, of course, Holly is always wonderful when she puts together our notes. It helps so much for us to kind of stay on track, because as you may have noticed, I sometimes go off of the beaten track. So it's nice to have something to always rely on. And, you know, let's start with the facts. Everything that we know for sure about the Nintendo Switch, the release date is going to be March 3rd of this year. We are literally, Holly, if I look at a calendar, we are less than 3 months away. And I think it is only about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about eight, less than 8 weeks away from right now. And when people are listening to this podcast, like, we know so much information now. It feels like it took so long for us to find out some of this information. But, like, now that we know it, it's right around the corner, Holly.
Yeah.
We have,
I mean,
like,
I was thinking like mid-March, but
we
March
have like
3rd,
six,
3-3, I love that.
We have like 6 to 7 more episodes, and then we're going to have the Switch in our hands. I mean, I don't know. Did you get a pre-order?
Yes, I pre-ordered.
I did too.
I think they're pretty available, actually. I don't think it's going to be an NES Classic situation.
No.
It might still be fairly difficult to get a hold of them, like maybe on launch day. Like if you pre-order, you should be safe, but launch day, good luck, probably. I don't know. We'll see, though.
I would imagine it'd be something like that. From what I understood, it's going to be somewhere around the two million mark for the worldwide distribution of the Switch consoles. And if you look at the amount of places where they're going to be releasing it, you know, the U.S. is obviously going to suck up a majority of that. The Japan is obviously going to take up a lot. It was interesting, though, because they're doing such a gigantic worldwide release. Like, this is not just America on March 3rd. This is every, like, honestly, every major territory. And then a lot of interesting territories, such as Hong Kong, which for a very long time, a lot of video game companies never officially released software in there. And Nintendo's making a push in that market, which I think is really interesting. And then, of course, in Europe and all these other countries. But I think it was somewhere around the estimates of like 2 to 3 million for total release, like window
units,
consoles or whatever it was going to be.
Yeah.
And, of course, the price for this, I think, is reasonable. I'm not upset about it. I don't think too many people are overall. I think we're all kind of prepared and ready for the price that they're going to hit us with. But $299.99, always my favorite when they throw in the 99 cents. I don't know why, but I just, for many years, I've always found that very funny that everything is like 1999 and 199.
Well, you know why that is, right?
Well, I mean, no, I don't. I feel like I
don't
under. I,
what,
well, why
it
is
looks,
that?
It's because it looks a little bit cheaper
than 300.
Than it actually is, right? 300. That would look that for you know for some reason just glancing at it that would look a lot more pricey if it was 300 even than at $299.99.
I guess that's true. I guess it
that's
does look slightly cheaper.
How things have been.
And I
just at a glance, you know, it's like a psychological thing. I mean, consumers are pretty gullible, so
yes, we are kind of, maybe just a tiny bit.
Yeah, a lot of people are. I feel like me and you, we're kind of exceptions in some ways.
Yeah, you know, I like to think I'm pretty good about that. But
yeah.
What do you think about the $299 price tag? Like, where are you feeling on $300? Does $300 seem like a fair price point? Does it seem like you're generally okay with it? Like, what's your overall feeling about $299 for this brand new console?
I think it's just fine. I mean, there's only one complaint I have with it, and it doesn't have to do with, like, you know, the hardware itself or anything like that. But I do agree with a lot of people that maybe a game like 1-2 Switch should have been included.
That would have been
with
that would have made
price.
It a little sweeter, right? Like that would have just
yes.
like I'm okay. 1-2 Switch is actually one of the games that I pre-ordered as well, and I did think that the $50 price tag for that was seemed a little bit ridiculous. Honestly,
yeah, I was hoping it wasn't $60 at least, but just I mean $10 cheaper than $60 at $50 still seems a little bit like I can pay, you know, a lot cheaper for, you know, like a board game or a card game that would be just as much fun with my family and friends, Nintendo.
Yeah, me and my family just bought a board game, or we were borrowing a board game that cost the person that we borrowed it from, I think it was $50, and it's a great game. So great games can come for $50, but it seems like for this piece of software, which I know is a showcase, it's just like, here's the thing, is it looks so much like a Wii Sports type game. That's mm-hmm. why it feels like this should be just included, because it's a showcase, right? Like they're all more or less quote unquote tech demos in a lot of ways. So
yeah,
it would make
and I
sense.
Wish, I wish I had seen, like, I've been watching catching up basically on the Treehouse Live, you know, demos that they did for a lot of the games. And I think they put 1-2 Switch kind of near the end of that. So I
yes.
haven't gotten to it. But I would love to see that and kind of see what this is all about. Because, yeah, on the surface, 1-2 Switch just kind of looks like, you know,
have you seen the
some
footage?
Real basic stuff.
Have you seen the footage for that scissor cut game?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, when I say a little bit, actually, I think I'm referring to the teeny bit, because we saw a little bit in the, like, sizzle reel, right?
Yes,
the montage
yes.
of games. That's probably about it.
Okay, well, they show it off during the Treehouse Live, and I am legitimately, like, that's not available for pre-order. I'm assuming it's going to be an eShop game. That's my first thought about it, but I'm super excited for
that
game.
Way.
But going
yeah,
back
just
to...
on the surface.
Going back to the price, $299, I do want to point this out, and I think it's up for at least a certain amount of, like, topical discussion. You can buy a brand new Xbox One S Battlefield 1 bundle, which is a 500-gigabyte system. The hard drive, we'll get into it in just a little while, but don't let that scare you off, because there's something important that you need to know about the Nintendo Switch. But at Walmart, you can get a Xbox One bundle for $264 from, like, from the website, $264, and a PS4, not the PS4 Pro, but the regular PS4 Pro, regular PS4, you can get for $279 from Best Buy. I do think that is worth noting. I don't think it's a big deal, because if PlayStation was to come out with, you know, the PlayStation 5, you know, next week or whatever, like, it would be more expensive than these things because it's the newest thing. I think the only problem is because the Nintendo Switch is coming in inside of, like, a mid-gap generational type thing.
Yeah.
I think that's why one piece of software included in the price would have made things really, really, like, oh, you get a game with it too? That's cool. I mean,
yeah, because everyone's currently doing it. And Nintendo themselves have done it before. They almost invented that concept, in fact. I don't know, like, but I'm sure that, you know, when the NES came out, that a lot of units of that came with, like, Super Mario Bros. Or the Super Mario Bros. Duck Hunt combo. And then the Super Nintendo, one of the best pack-in games ever, Super Mario World. Like, Nintendo kind of invented that idea, and now they're not even really, you know, jumping on that. But really quick, I just barely was thinking about it, and this thing comes with a screen. I mean, it's kind of small.
There's
but
the definitely
Switch
a reason.
Comes with a screen. If you want to play a PlayStation and you do not have a TV screen, you're paying, you know, the however much for the PlayStation itself, and then you have to pay hundreds of dollars for a screen for it. But this comes with a screen, and actually, I think it's a multi-touch screen, so it's actually more advanced than the touch screens we've seen before, right?
From
Nintendo
yes.
devices.
Yep.
So this, I mean, that's another thing. You're paying like, you know, $600-$700 for a good smartphone.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because
sure.
of their fancy little touch screens. So when you consider all of the tech that's in there, then yeah, I think $300 is actually very, very reasonable.
Oh, I think so. I'm not here to say if it is or isn't reasonable. I just think that it's up for because it is a competition. Not necessarily between like me and you and like people around the world, but like sadly, like they do need to compete with these other companies because they do need to take a certain. They need to get even a sliver of the market share so they can continue to do what it is they do. And I know that their goal overall is to get as, you know, they are a business. They do want to make money, obviously. So it is, I think, just up to say, like, this is a brand new piece of software or a brand new piece of hardware that is going to be releasing for $299. And the older pieces of gaming platforms are now starting to drop price a little bit. Obviously, like I said, the PS4, I believe, is back to like $350, something like that. I'm not 100% sure how much a PS4 Pro brand new is. If I do a very quick search, it looks like it's about $399. So $400 thereabouts for a brand new PS4 Pro. So we are looking at $100 less in comparison to that, and also the PSVR, which releases, which is kind of a platform in a lot of ways, I believe is $300 or $400? I don't know, one or the other, actually. It's pretty pricey for the PSVR. But yeah, so $299, I think we are all pretty much prepared from a lot of different, not only leaks, but just I think overall we've all been kind of saying like $250 to $300 is going to be the price. Like I don't think anybody thought it was going to go over that or under that, like $200 would have been absolutely, you know, madness, and $250 I think would have been really sweet, and $300 I think is fine. I just wish there was a game included, like we were saying.
Yeah, it would definitely make it a lot easier to swallow for sure.
All the units, so there's two different SKUs. There's going to be one with the Joy-Cons that come with a gray color, and then there's going to be another SKU where the Joy-Cons are neon blue and neon red. Which SKU did you get? Did you get the gray or the neon ones?
Gray. And at first I was a little bit, you know, upset because I was thinking like it would be kind of fun to have it multicolored, but you know, I'm not too picky. But then I actually watched Andre Black Nerd's like kind of impressions video on YouTube of the Switch presentation, and he actually really dissed the colorful Joy-Con setup, and that actually made me feel a lot better about what I got, because it is really kind of weirdly inconsistent.
It does
to,
look
to have those weird like brightly colored sides on your little screen there.
They are very, very bright, that's for sure. I got the gray ones as well because that was all that was available. If I had the opportunity, I would have got the neon ones. I actually have kind of a funny pre-order story that I'm going to go on a tiny tangent real quick.
Sure.
I got it from GameStop online. I woke up in the morning. They were all sold out of the $299, so I had to get the one with a three-game package. But I was like, I'm going to get some games anyways, not a big deal. But then my PayPal said that it got canceled, and I went to go check on the site, and it said $0 for all of the stuff that I ordered.
Oh, this is weird.
Right. Okay. So that's what I thought too. It seemed like PayPal said that the order was canceled, but it was waiting for a processing charge to go through on GameStop's side, and then they would charge me on PayPal's side. But they had already charged me and then refunded me because they canceled it. Very weird. And then when I logged on to the GameStop side of things, it said everything was no cost. So once again, like it kind of freaked me out. I thought it was a little weird. So I called the local GameStop up in Twin Falls, and I just said, "Hey, do you guys still have some Switch pre-orders?" They said yes, and I was like, "Awesome!" So I went down there. I had to get some stuff in Twin anyways, and I got a reservation for the $299 with the gray, and then I got Zelda because Zelda, and I got 1-2 Switch because, you know, I think it looks fun overall. I don't mind it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd have a lot of fun with it, just, you know, bringing it around. I actually have this weird goal, like, when the Switch comes out, to, like, get out in the world and find as many fellow Nintendo fans as I possibly can and play with them and make a lot of new friends and stuff, because I think it's great that Nintendo's still trying to keep that whole local multiplayer spirit alive.
One of the cool things about the Switch is you can have 8 of these connect to each other. I mean,
yes.
I don't know if you've ever done this, Holly. Do you know what a LAN party is?
Well, you know, just based on the name of it, I suppose I can guess what it is. And I'm sure that I've heard of people doing it before.
Like Halo, like, okay, well, before Halo, but I mean, there was Quake.
You each bring your own system and TV.
You each bring your own TV. Mario Kart Double Dash used to do this on the GameCube. People used to do that.
Hmm.
But then also, like, it was a big thing for computers, obviously. People that played Quake and Counter-Strike, a lot of other, like, RTS-type games. Like, that is what you would do. You'd bring your entire setup. You would connect over local internet, basically, using your LAN ports.
Local area network.
Exactly. And you'd have LAN parties. And that's kind of what this is a throwback to, because I always get thrown back to that initial trailer, the very first one that we ever saw about it, where you saw the guys and gals all sitting around their own Nintendo Switches and they're playing Splatoon against each other. That was so cool that you could have your own Splatoon and be playing against everybody. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't have to separate the TV out. Like, so
really easy to carry with you as well. So that's phenomenal.
If they're going to sell the controller, you know, the Switch console, I guess that is kind of like, I mean, what you're kind of buying more or less is you're buying the Switch console. I was trying to think, like, if you could buy it, you know, because me and my daughter, for instance, if we're both playing Splatoon, I would like, you know, the screen, and she maybe wouldn't. I wonder how that's going to work, if you have to buy a whole nother unit. I don't know. I never thought about that until now. Like, how will multiplayer and some of that type of stuff work out if you don't want to do,
sure,
like, the split
screen?
Well,
I'm sure you'll still have... Yeah, obviously, you'll still have split screen on the TV, which I think is just fine. I mean, it's just like what we're used to anyway local play.
But well,
having your own Switch and taking it around with you, like, I can't wait to go to the college where I work and be like, who owns one of these? Let's play a game. I don't even care which one. Let's just play.
Yeah, I'm legit.
It'll be awesome.
I'm glad people from my work probably don't listen to this. I don't know, because I recently showed a couple coworkers, but I'm assuming it was a one-off thing. But I will probably have this thing in my office occasionally. Not every day, because that would be bad workmanship. But I mean,
well,
if it had
Street Pass, which it's been confirmed that it doesn't, but if it
has
maybe some kind of a replacement for Street Pass,
just something to check your.
Then
your,
I would
your
take
step.
It with me all the time, but even to work, because I bring my 3DS with me to work every single day, purely for Street Passes, just in case. But I don't play it there, so
Street
you know.
Pass is not the only thing that's died. Miiverse is dead too.
Yeah.
What a surprise.
Kind of
one of my
I hope there will be a replacement.
I would imagine, but I don't think so, because they talked about the share button interacting with social
media.
So I'm assuming it's
lame.
Just going to do exactly.
I hate Twitter lately.
I love Twitter still. Okay.
Shame on you people who ruin Twitter for the rest of us. I really doubt anyone that bad listens to this podcast, though. Most of the people who listen, I think, are really good tweeters, but there are some people on there that I wish I could find and kick in the shin.
There's the block button, Holly. The block button is a powerful tool.
I know. I keep forgetting that that's a thing, and I recently have thought, like, wow, I've got to start blocking some people.
It's true. It is a powerful tool, but...
none of my followers and none of the people obviously. And probably none of the listeners either,
an
evil person.
Just a very quick shout out. I got to give a very quick shout out to somebody who just recently started following me, Benjamin. He is a longtime listener of the podcast and just hit me up the other day and said that he listens every Monday morning during work. It's a nice perk that he gets to get onto the different podcasts, and he forgot to start following. So, thank you for starting to follow. I'm doing a giveaway on Twitter. You guys, sadly, will not be able to participate, because by the time this podcast is out, the giveaway will already have been done with. But I did give away Swords and Soldiers 2 to one of my lucky followers. So if you're not following me, please start following me at Only Matt Dezen, because as I get more and more followers, I will be giving away more and more games. I'm getting close to 1,000, Holly. I'm getting close.
Nice.
So
this Benjamin, is this the same Benjamin who we actually have a comment from? Benjamin Del Ponte?
I
don't know if that's how you pronounce
it. Is.
Sorry, Benjamin, if I butchered your last name.
It is, in fact, the same Benjamin. Can handle let's, price.
Let's dive into our listener comments here.
Yeah, especially some that are about the price. Benjamin says, can handle price. Year one looks great. No need for PS3 third party. Looks awesome. Accessory price, thumbs down. I was kind of surprised by the amount of...
$80 for a pair of Joy-Cons. Yes. And again, there's like all that tech built in and everything like that, but holy smokes, they're tiny.
I guess it's a good thing that you get two of them, which I do love the fact that it basically is two controllers in one box. When they were talking about the Famicom, like all the different things they took from the previous Nintendo consoles, and they said the Famicom, you know, you get two controllers in the box. My first thought was they're going to give you the Joy-Cons and a Pro Controller. Like, that was me dreaming very extensively, I guess.
Aww.
But it does come with two controllers, very much akin to how the Famicom was back in the day. So I thought
pretty cool. Speaking of that kind of another kind of montage that they had during the presentation was that, like, you know, look at all of this DNA that the Switch has inherited from years and years of Nintendo gaming. And wow, they really did tie in the Switch to pretty much every piece of hardware Nintendo's ever put out, except for obviously, like, you know, the various variations of many of the handhelds. But
and no virtual console mention. I wonder if they just they early in the processing, they're like, we're going to use red colors for everything. And then someone's like, we shouldn't do that. And then that DNA got sliced out, I guess. But I think the price is good, too. I think Gear 1 does look really good when it comes to games. Here's the thing. There's only about five or okay, so the very first on release day, I think there's only like five games total for the first month. I think there's only somewhere around like 10, but like the fact that the Legend of Zelda is a release title, I think, to be honest, like, this is my honest thought, why would you want to compete with the Legend of Zelda as a launch day game,
as a launch title?
You know, it seems like it's funny to kind of say that, because it's like, well, some people want to buy more than one game, which is totally understandable. I'm buying two games, for instance, but do I really want to buy two very meaty games right off of the bat, or would I rather buy a meaty game, a simple game, and then in a month keep purchasing more games as they come down the road? You know, and that's kind of the way that I could be different, because like I don't like do so much gaming. Like, I'm definitely much more of an enthusiast than I am like a, you know, a hardcore gamer even at this point anymore and stuff. So maybe I'm just like not thinking of it the same way that a lot of people do. But to me, The Legend of Zelda being a release title is kind of going to be the greatest launch ever. I mean, when Twilight Princess released day and date with the Wii, that was pretty amazing. I mean, or no, that one, did that release day and date with the Wii?
I think so.
I swear.
And then the GameCube version actually came later, which made me think the Wii U version might come later for Breath of the Wild. Not so, though. I mean, March 3rd, both versions of the game and pretty much everywhere around the world right on March 3rd when the Switch comes out. So that's amazing. And I totally agree that you don't need like 50 launch games to have a good launch. Like, and the fact that Nintendo's trying to spread out, you know, the good AAA games throughout this year and next, I think is actually a very smart thing to do, especially considering the big drought that the Wii U had pretty much the year that I bought it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is I think if you look just solely
off
of...
Did I say Switch or Wii U? I said Wii U, right?
You said Wii U. Yeah, it was very dead the year you bought it. So just looking at March, I'm not going to say March 3rd because I'm just going to count the entire month of March. We got Zelda 1-2 Switch, Skylanders, Just Dance, Super Bomberman, Super Clips, or Snipper Clippers, which looks great. I am Senecio. I'm not sure which one that is. Has-Been Heroes and some other game I can't read off of this. Blast Assault or something. Or it's that fast racing game, I think, is what it is.
Oh, really? From Shinen?
Yeah, from Shannon, it looks like.
Is that okay? I don't know much about that. Is that a port of the Wii U game, Fast Racing Neo?
Have not heard enough about it. But just looking at the launch month, like for me personally, like I'm buying Zelda and 1-2 Switch already. Super Clips or Snipper Clips, I'm going to buy because it looks great. And Has-Been Heroes is another game that I'm highly anticipating. And then there's a couple games on here that actually are coming out the release month that are not even being mentioned on here, such as The Binding of Isaac is going to be coming to the Nintendo Switch, which I'm looking forward to purchasing as well. I feel like there's still the possibility of games that we don't know about to still be announced now that it's been released. Like, now that we know about this thing, I feel like the opportunity to find out about more games that are in development, we're going to find out more about. Also, just for the year of 2017... the ones that don't have like a release month of any kind, Xenoblade Chronicles 2, Minecraft, FIFA, Dragon Ball Z Xenoverse 2, Holly, Dragon Ball's coming to this. Oh yes. Ultra Street Fighter 2, The Final Challengers, which looks really cool. Sonic Mania Steep, which is that Ubisoft game, and NBA 2K. Not a big NBA fan, not a big FIFA fan, but as I wrote a couple months ago, I think that sports games and third-party games like this are important for the overall environment of the Switch, so I'm excited to see those kinds of games come to the platform personally.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. Isn't FIFA usually really well rated? Because if it is a well rated game that isn't M rated, then I'll buy it, man. I will buy
FIFA.
RPGs,
Holly. If you like RPGs, you may, and I think I've told you this about football before too, you may want to try one of these sports games, because a sports game is very much an RPG in so many ways. I mean, you either take on the role of a player or an owner, and then you got to build them up, and it's crazy. Anyways, let's get back over to our comments real quick. We got some fun ones over here from Michael Ryan, for instance. He's on Twitter as well as @FormTheCloud, I think is what his name is. I hate if I don't remember.
I did not put the handles in.
Yes,
the
FormTheCloud. FormTheCloud. I'm saying that 100 times for you, Michael. He says, tell Holly I said hello. Michael says hello, Holly. And also,
hi,
hello,
Michael.
Matt. So hello, Michael. March 4th.
He tagged me in that tweet, so it was a little odd to kind of read that, like, tell Holly I said hello.
It was weird for me too.
I saw that.
I felt like I was telling myself hello as I was reading it aloud. It was a little bizarre, but whatever.
Awesome. Awesome tweet to us though.
He says March 4th is excitement date, so I'm assuming he's getting it the day after. I'm not sure what that means.
He might have just typed the wrong number. Who knows?
Possibly. He says needs more than Zelda, so he's not in on us talking about Zelda being okay as the only big name release game. Also, he says ARMS looks great, which I think ARMS looks pretty fun.
It's going to be real divisive, I get the feeling. I've heard a lot of different comments on that one.
Found out that you do not have to play with motion on that game, and I was instantly way more excited.
Yes, people. No more complaining now.
Yes.
Since that's the case.
I will definitely be trying.
I'm totally using motion control, though, personally. I think it looks amazing. I'm going to, like, you know, get my fists up close to my face and pretend like I'm really boxing.
And you know this is online, Holly.
I'm going to have a ball. Yes, that too. So no need to necessarily buy another set of Joy-Cons right off the bat anyway.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, if I want to play this game with my daughter, I'm going to have to drop another $80 on Joy-Cons. That sounds
wonderful.
I know.
I keep thinking about my sister, like, oh.
I hope
she doesn't think it looks fun.
Yeah, exactly. And then also he says, very curious at what they held back for E3, which I am also super curious as to see. I mean,
yeah,
they did a good job of announcing not only stuff that's coming out soon, but also projects that are not being completely announced, such as the Suda 5-1. He talked about Travis Touchdown being in a new game, and one of my biggest wants, wishes, and desires for this for any console ever would be to see a No More Heroes 3, which obviously Travis Touchdown was the star of No More Heroes 1 and 2 on the Wii, which later got ported to the PS3. But I absolutely adore the No More Heroes games. I think they're wonderfully written pieces of software and just a really fun overall style of play that really offers a lot of, like, old-school mentality where it's just, like, an old-fashioned beat-em-up, but then, like, a lot of control and just really, really cool game, right? So I would love to see a new version of that come to the Nintendo Switch, especially because, and I thought about this too, Holly, Ubisoft, as I kind of mentioned in our rumors last week, right, that Ubisoft was going to be a big supporter.
Mm-hmm.
Ubisoft obviously made Red Steel. And one of the cool things about Red Steel, especially Red Steel 2, it actually worked. You could use, you know, the pointer to shoot somebody in the kneecap and then run up to them and chop them with the sword. You have these two Joy-Cons in your hand. You have this, like, great representation of gun in one hand and sword in the other hand. Like, the opportunity for motion gaming, as bizarre as it might sound, because I think we're all kind of ready for it to die a little bit, I'm actually semi-more excited for the idea of motion gaming to do something fun again. Does that sound crazy?
No, not at all, actually. It's cool that we have the Joy-Cons, as small as they are, like, they're tiny compared to a Wii Remote. They both have a C-Stick, which I think could really come in handy for those types of experiences. And they're not tethered to each other via, you know, a cord.
Everybody
so
seems really...
I think there's some potential.
Everybody seems very positive about the Joy-Cons and using them separately without, like, the Joy-Con grip or anything like that. People seem to be very, like... These are really comfortable, and they work really well, is what I keep hearing from everybody, honestly. And nobody seems to
like
mind
even,
the size.
Right, the size. People even say that the size isn't that big a deal. They must just have such a great form factor. Kudos, Nintendo, for that.
I think it's almost been a little while since they've nailed a control. Like, I do like the Wiimote. I know a lot of people have issues with it. The gamepad seems kind of divisive for a lot of people overall. But the Joy-Cons seem like they might have really hit the nail on the hammer. We'll have to kind of wait and see what people think about it. But I agree with Michael. I do want to see what was held back. My biggest I would say two of the biggest games that I wanted to see for the Switch was Splatoon, which obviously we're getting a Splatoon 2, which
yes!
is awesome.
Awesome.
Exactly. And then also the other game that I really wanted was Smash Brothers. I know it's a little early for a Smash Brothers game because they usually run a little bit longer of a development cycle. Like, it's kind of unknown what's going to happen with the Switch because it came out so quickly in comparison, you know, for the Wii U and stuff. So I just want to play more Smash Brothers. So I wouldn't mind if they do the same thing they're doing with Mario Kart 8, where it's called Mario Kart Deluxe. There's new characters and an actual battle mode, like a legit battle mode. And then there's not really a whole lot of new stuff added to it. I would actually be okay with that. You know, do a Smash Brothers Deluxe, or Smash Brothers 4 Switch is what I guess it'd be called. And just give me all the DLC already included in the game that I buy, and maybe a couple new stages, and let me play Smash Brothers on the Switch. Like, I would be okay with that personally. I just want Smash Brothers, Holly. I want Smash
I'd
Brothers.
Be okay with it too, but you know, talking about that kind of brings to my mind, this might be going off track just a little bit, but I feel like Nintendo, like, people have such high expectations for Nintendo, and Nintendo has so many, you know, franchises mm-hmm. that I feel like right now, because the fans are so like, well, bring me this, I'm not buying it until there's a Metroid game on there or a Pokemon game on there. Speaking I'm like, there's a Zelda game, there's a Mario game coming later this year, Animal Crossing is another great example. Everybody's like, they should have shown Animal Crossing. And I'm just, oh my gosh, guys. Nintendo has like dozens of IPs here. What do you expect for them to release a Metroid, a Mario, a Zelda, a Star Fox, a Donkey Kong, a Pokemon, an Animal Crossing all at once? Get over it.
Yeah.
So I feel like, sadly, Nintendo almost is like buried in its own franchises.
They're almost
unable to satisfy everybody because, yeah. you know, there's such a wide array of different types of Nintendo fans out there. But man, I am super happy with what we have seen so far. Super, super happy.
I think we just have so much excitement for all of our favorite franchises and things that we love and we like, right? Like, we like mm-hmm. for you are a huge Zelda fan, and you're for the most part a rational, level-headed type person. So like, if they didn't if for some reason Zelda didn't show up, it's kind of hard to say this because obviously they've been showing Zelda for a long time, so it would be annoying if they wouldn't have shown it off. But if they had never shown Zelda for the Switch or the Wii U, and then they had shown this new console and they didn't say anything about Zelda, you would have just gone and said, like, eventually it's going to come. I'm excited to find out more information, but it's not going to stop me.
I'm still buying it.
Exactly. Like, right. You're still going to get it.
I would have bought it for ARMS. I think ARMS looks so stylish and colorful and awesome. And now that I know that it does actually have a no motion controls option, I'm like, guys, no more complaints about this. It looks amazing. And it's a new IP from Nintendo. That is huge. Yes. That is shocking and unexpected.
I love it.
I would have gotten this for that.
New IP, I think, is honestly something that Nintendo needs to start embracing way more going into the future.
You think so? I mean, every series has its fans, and nobody is ever completely happy.
Here's the thing, is they have to start getting one over. I think Splatoon is a good example of that, and it gives them the ability to create a game like Splatoon and gives them the ability to like step away from nostalgia so they can work on those nostalgia-type projects to really increase like either the fun or whatever the case may be, but it gives them like the ability to say, like, we have this newer IP like in Splatoon. People love it. It was a huge success, especially in Japan, which was a big surprise, but a huge success. And now we can take that off the building blocks and we can create this new thing, and then we can keep Metroid, for instance, or whatever the case may be, and keep it on the back burner so we can build it to be whatever it is the fans are hoping that it's going to be. I mean, it's hard to say for sure. I'm only like stretching my imagination to say these kinds of things because I'm not so jaded to believe that, like, it is crazy that, like, for instance, we did not get a Metroid game for the Wii U, right? Like, which is kind of sad. It's a little disheartening. You know, we only ever got, we got Other M, which was, you know, a big, you know, divisive game, obviously. But it was kind of disheartening to when you do have a big love for a certain style of game and you don't see it. It's kind of like me with Castlevania. I would give anything to see a legitimate Castlevania game done in the handheld fashion for the 3DS. Like, I just want to see that so, so badly. Bloodstained looks like it's going to be good, but I actually want Castlevania, right? Like, we've had mm-hmm. other games that are like Metroid on the system, but we don't want like Metroid. We want Metroid. And speaking of Metroid, we're going to jump over to Anthony DeVirgilis to see what his comment was. He said, Zelda, Xenoblade, and Mario look absolutely amazing. The online is still a head-scratcher to me.
Oh, the online.
The online.
I have to pull up Nintendo's press site right now because I swear the way that they word it. I'm gonna say this right off the bat. But I swear that the way that they word it, that the quote unquote paid online service, the paid part of the online, is going to be the app. Like, that's... I think that there's a chance based on the wording that I have seen that.
Oh, okay.
There will be kind of a free online. I mean, it's not 100% certain, but I'm going to look for this wording here that I think actually gives hope that there will be a free online service. You just won't have voice chat or this fancy mobile app and stuff like that.
Well, I'll be honest, just while you're searching for it, I'll say this right now. That doesn't sound too crazy because the online portion of it could be a paid service for on-the-go connectivity through, like, the smartphone app while you're at home.
Yeah.
You can still play and use online functionality, but if you expect to take it out of your home environment, then you will need to pay. And that does not actually sound crazy. I mean, that's kind of – think of it more or less like a cell phone provider. You pay for your data so that when you are out and about and you don't have Wi-Fi, you have to use their online service. And that's the same basic idea that this could be referring to. You pay a monthly service, you can play this wherever you are. If you don't pay the monthly service, you can only play it at home. It's hard to say. We don't know for sure, but that doesn't sound crazy.
There are so many things that we don't know that I'm like, stop complaining, people. It's funny that there are people who used to complain that Nintendo didn't like charge for online gaming because, you know, Nintendo's online sucks. If it was paid, they could actually make something decent of it. And now people are like, oh, Nintendo's making us pay for online now. Yeah. That's lame. And I'm like, we've been not paying for it because it's just not, you know, up to the same standard. It is nothing.
That's the thing to remember about online on Nintendo as of right now. It's nothing. All it does is it gives you a very small ability to connect peer-to-peer with other people to play video games. That's literally
the only
thing.
Which I think is fine, honestly.
It's the most basic, bare-bones approach to do it, right? And they have suffered in the past, such as like with Smash Brothers for the Wii. It was horrible online, and there's a big reason, because they didn't have any good infrastructure behind it to help with those peer connections. They just kind of relied on everybody hoping they had the best internet to connect with, you know, and that was... That was a problem. I don't think it's that big of a deal because Smash Brothers was way funner to play side by side, and it still is. But I do love playing like the Wii U version, for instance, online, and I'm glad it works as well as it does. So I just want my cake and I want to eat it too. I want everything to work out. Something to mention.
I found the wording, if you want to hear this. So Nintendo's press site says, the system will support online Wi-Fi multiplayer gaming. That's a sentence. Nintendo also unveiled a new online subscription service, that will begin with a free trial at launch. The service includes a smart device application available in summer that will let users invite friends to play online, blah, blah, blah. The fully featured paid service will be available in the fall. Based on all of that wording, it sounds to me like that first sentence just says the system will support online, Wi-Fi multiplayer gaming. Sounds about like what Nintendo has done for years now. Nintendo also unveiled a new online subscription service. I feel like that wording, and people are just going crazy. Like, you're going to make me pay for online? And I'm like, I get the feeling that based on this wording, and even the wording that was used in the presentation, like going back and listening to that again, I think there's a dang good chance that, you know, just a rudimentary online service will actually be free. And if you want to pay the money for, you know, the voice chat, the whatever extra features there may or may not be, I don't know. And that's another thing. If Nintendo's going to give us, you know, bonus features, kind of like PlayStation Plus, where you get free games or whatever, you know, whatever Nintendo decides to do with it, that should be the determining factor of whether or not you'll pay the money for it. And we do not know what Nintendo's plans are in this area. So, yeah, just to all those people who are worried or complaining, that's my spiel for you.
I think, you know, I think that's a possibility. Honestly, the way that you make that, you give a very good argument to what it is you're talking about, and I think that that is not a crazy thought, that there is going to be a free version with the Wi-Fi multiplayer, and if you're expecting to have things like voice chat and on-the-go gaming, then you'd have to pay for it. That doesn't sound crazy at all to me personally. Honestly, it doesn't.
Right. You can get a pretty good connection, like internet connection, through your cell phone.
Yes.
Too, right? I mean, that's totally possible that Nintendo would allow you to actually play online, like out on the road, as long as you have a good cell phone connection, then it could happen. Although, I don't know, would that get complicated with, like, you know, extra fees from
your cell phone provider?
Like your cell phone provider too, yeah. Would that be a problem or a possibility?
It would be, but that's the thing, is we don't know enough about it. That's the problem. We don't know how it will work, because we just don't know enough about it. Here's the thing, like if you go through Verizon and you stream NFL games and you're a member of Verizon, it will not affect your data plan at all if you're a member of Verizon. So it is a possibility that Nintendo is going to be partnering with cell phone companies, for instance, to do some sort of thing like this. That could be a huge stretch. It could be me exaggerating. I don't know. We need to hear more information about it. I do want to bring up the Virtual Console games. So they have talked about a semi, not really a subscription service, but a semi-subscription service. Every month they're going to give a free NES or SNES game. They haven't said if it was one or the other or both, or how many, or what the situation is going to be.
So this has been confirmed by Nintendo?
Yes, this has been confirmed by Nintendo.
Awesome.
Monthly free classic games on the Switch is intended to only be available for that month. There's going to be more details as we get closer to launch. So that's important to note, that this is not going to be like the PlayStation Plus, at least from the wording and from everything that I've been able to find out. What's his name from Kotaku? Chris Kohler. He's the one that actually broke this story originally, and he said afterwards as well that this, you will not be able to keep the game after that month. You have the option to buy that game, but it is more of a trial or a demo of that retro game. But you do get it for the month. And here's, I want to say that this may be terrible. It may be absolutely horrible. But it also does a couple of positive things, in my opinion. One, it keeps the value of the game. And two, most games that I get on PlayStation Plus, after the month that I got it, if I don't spend a whole lot of time with it, I don't ever touch it again. Because it's free, so it's hard to really have an actual value of representation for me to want to sit there and continually spend time with it when I do spend money on paying for like a $60 game or a $50 game called 1-2 Switch. It's hard for me to want to generate the energy to play something that has no real initial value. So the game itself, in a lot of ways, has no value. So this game, yes, it is like a rental, but I don't really think that's a bad thing. I mean, depending on what games you get, for instance, and one of the things that I keep thinking back to is like Kirby. Kirby's a great game, and it's a wonderful game for anyone who's never played it, and I recommend purchasing it if you've never played it. But if it was to come upon this service for a free month, and everybody had the opportunity to finally play Kirby and realize this game takes you maybe 5 hours to beat if you wanted to do it in one sitting, or, you know, a weekend if you want to do it in two sittings, why would you then want to go back to that over and over again if it's something that you already got your enjoyment out of, as most retro games are kind of a one-and-done thing in a lot of respects? Not all. There's lots of replayability.
That's true.
There's a lot of replayability, don't get me wrong. But even some of the most aggressive RPGs, such as like Mario RPG, Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasies, you can beat those games in a month. And then are you just going to let it sit there on your console until you're ready to go back and play it again and beat it in a month? I don't know. It's
probably
hard.
Not.
It's
I mean, hard.
Exactly.
That backlog
that's the
problem.
Thing is, I don't. And that's another thing, is the backlog. This kind of preventively takes care of your backlog by not allowing it to generate a backlog. I mean, if you have a month to beat it, you don't beat it, you move on to the next thing. So the other thing somebody tried to tell me is that even though it helps keep the value of the game, it takes away from the value of the service. We don't know everything about the service yet, one. And two, if this was never a part of the service, then you wouldn't think that to begin with. This is an extra. This is something that they're doing along with the service that they're providing. So I don't know. I'm not happy that you don't get to keep the game, but I'm not annoyed at it. I get to take it with me for a month, and depending on the game, who knows if I'm even going to play it to be honest. And also, we don't know the price of the service yet. That will be bigger when we find out how much it's actually going to cost. But
yeah, that's a huge thing. There's just so much information we don't know. And I've told people, like, you know how much I hate the idea of, like, a paid subscription service for internet or whatever the case may be. If Nintendo is offering something that I think looks appealing as far as a subscription Wi-Fi service goes or online multiplayer service goes, I'll pay the money. I will do it. Right now, we just don't know what the service is. If it looks like it's, you know, really poorly priced for not that great of features, then I'm not going to do it. But if it looks appealing to me at all, then I'll do it, you know?
I'll tell you point blank. It's
up to you.
If it's over $30, if it's over $20, to be honest, I won't do it. If it's
a year?
A month. Usually,
well, that would be insane, wouldn't it? $20 a month?
That's the thing is usually what they'll do is it'll be somewhere between like 15 to 20. Like, for instance, PlayStation Plus is $60 a year is how much it is. But you can also buy like 3 month packs for like $30, and you can buy like a 1 month pack for like $15. So that's kind of where I'm coming from is I don't want to see it any more than what the other providers are servicing. But I do want to say, like, with my PS4, for instance, like, I don't play a ton of online gaming. Obviously, I did with Splatoon and Smash Brothers and Mario Kart and anything else on Nintendo, like Mario Maker and stuff, partly because it was free. So I'll be totally honest when I say I don't really know if I'm going to purchase it, even if it's reasonably priced. I do a lot of my best gaming with my daughter and by myself. And I hate to say that because I want to enjoy, like, Smash Brothers or Mario Kart or whatever it is, but, like, I also know, like, me as a gamer personally, how much I do spend online playing games, and if it doesn't seem like a reasonable, evened out thing, it's not something I'm going to personally continually investigate. You know, it's hard to say for sure.
Mm.
But before we get too far off of some of these other things, we should talk a little bit more about some of the features about this darn thing. Region locking is no more. I don't care about it. I can't read Japanese anyways. Just want to say that. I'd never, ever, 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 ever cared
about region locking.
I cannot read Japanese. For instance, Dragon Ball Fusions that I just bought, it was released 7 months ago in Japan. I was never going to try to import that. I can't read Japanese. I can't do it. I have to wait for the English version. So region locking,
kind of agree
I'm happy
that.
For everybody
there
that
are
cares
some European
about
situations.
Yeah, Xenoblade.
Like,
Xenoblade's
I don't think
a
we
great,
ever. Xenoblade Chronicles was a hugely good example right there.
But don't you want to get the American
version? Also
that
weird, like, Tingle game.
Don't you want
to
get the American version? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't
care
about.
Well, if it looks like it's not
locking.
Coming over here, then I suppose I wouldn't mind. Like, the Splatoon soundtrack. I love that game's music, and I finally decided one day, like, they're never going to put Splatoon tune as in, like, musical tune. Mm-hmm. They're never going to bring Splatoon, the soundtrack, over here to America. I imported that. I imported Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Okay. Well,
so I'm just glad that CDs aren't region locked.
That would be crazy and odd if they could figure that out. Region locked is no more. There are different play styles, though, and they refer to them as modes, even though they're just, I don't know, just how you're playing the game.
Yeah, play the game.
I always hate how they call things modes.
Situations.
I always hate how they call things modes. I don't know why. It just bugs me for some reason. But they have TV mode, which is where you have it docked in and you're playing on the TV. Tabletop mode, which is where you do the little kickstand and you place it in front of you and you play with a controller. And then handheld mode, which is where you actually put the Joy-Cons on the Switch console itself and you actually play from there. The battery life will range anywhere between 2.5 hours to 6 hours, which I think is a cop-out. I think it's really weird to say, like, it either will turn on or it won't turn on. I think that 2.5 hours to 3 to 6 hours is such a large gap.
It is a little odd. Like, where did that come from?
I think,
like, what game? It depends on the
mode,
game.
I think, well, I also think handheld mode is going to say a lot of things because you're either going to be pulling energy or charging or in some capacity using the Joy-Cons in function with it. I feel like that's going to drain it quicker than if you're just playing with a separate controller. Or maybe you're using the Joy-Cons to also help power the thing when you're in handheld mode. I don't know. It is a capacitive touchscreen. Just real quick also, I don't care a whole lot about the battery power mode because, one, it's a USB Type-C connection. Meaning you can bring, like, a battery.
A power brick.
A power
bank. I don't know. What do they call those?
Brick bank. I don't know. Anyways. But you can bring one of those things with you, and if it's dying, you can plug it in and charge it while you're playing it. So that means there is no battery life, to be honest. Like, it's whatever you feel you need it to be. You know, even with your phone, right? Like, our phones are rated for way more than 6 hours. But a lot of people, myself included, I bring around a little power brick with me sometimes, especially if I'm going on a long trip. So battery life
just kind of
really isn't a issue anymore because it's a USB Type-C connection. That's really big. That's very, very big about this, in my opinion.
Yeah, that is a really, really nice thing. I already own a power bank.
So just charge that and take it with you to your school, or just plug it into the wall. I don't know. Like, I'm not too concerned about the battery life. Same thing with my 3DS. I feel like I'm an adult and I can figure out a way to charge it. Like, I'm serious when I say that. That's how I feel about my 3DS. Like, if I let my 3DS die, like, I'm just not being responsible about it. Like, because it's not difficult to, like, turn it off, find a charger, get it charged up. I don't know. Maybe I'm just over-exaggerating. I don't know.
I feel the same way. I almost wish that we had another person on this podcast who could be like, no, it's not okay that
it's
the battery
It's very difficult
stinks.
To charge our devices in the middle of the day. I don't know how to do it. I can only do it at my bedstand at night. All right, guy. I'm sorry.
Sorry to all of those people.
No, I'm not sorry. Figure out how to get a power bank. Okay, anyways. Yeah. Capacitive touchscreen, which is what your cell phone technology is and not what the Wii U and 3DS screen is. So it is a much better touchscreen. It is also 720. It is not 1080, but it's a small screen, so it looks beautiful. Anyways, it does go all the way up to 1080 when it's docked in, not 4K, 60 frames a second when it's in the TV mode, and only 30 frames per second in tabletop and handheld mode. That will be interesting to see if it matters for games like Mario Kart, Smash Brothers, even The Legend of Zelda. You know, those kinds of things. How will that matter? Even the 3DS version of Smash Brothers, important note, ran at 60 frames a second, didn't it? Or am I totally off on that?
I have no idea, honestly.
I don't know what I'm even saying
out
loud.
Clearly, I care so much about the technology.
I don't really, but I do remember that was like almost a big... It seemed to matter to some people. I feel like I'm talking out of my...
It matters to everybody except us, apparently.
Smash Brothers 3DS, 60 FPS. Holly, say something. Wow, Smash Brothers
Googling
3DS. Yes, Smash Brothers does run
at
60 frames on 3DS. So that is something to note. It does run at 60 frames. So how will that look at 30 frames on a Switch? We don't know. Obviously, it's not even been announced. Maybe it won't even exist. I don't know. There's 80-plus games in active development. We know about many of the games. I'm not going to name them all. I'm not even going to name...
I didn't even list them all, I realized, on this list.
You listed a lot, like Xenoblade Chronicles 2, Dragon Quest X 10 and 11, Dragon Quest Heroes 1 and 2, Shin Megami Tensei, Elder Scrolls Skyrim, which is exciting, FIFA, NBA, Mario Kart 8, Puyo Pop Tetris, which looks really cool, Has Been Heroes.
Isn't that Puyo Puyo or something like that?
Puyo Puyo.
Weird name.
Puyo Puyo, Texas.
So it's basically just a Tetris. Wait a minute. Doesn't it have like multiple different puzzle games integrated into it? Like it's not just Tetris. It's got like a few different
It's Tetris and Puyo Puyo Pop. Puyo Puyo Pop is a very popular...
obviously I don't know about that one.
Oh, it's a really cool game. You should look it up. You'll like it if you... Do you like
Maybe
Tetris?
Maybe I'll get some Puyo Puyo Tetris. I don't mind Tetris. I'm not, you know, I don't get as addicted to it as some people
it's
do.
It's nothing like Tetris. That's my point. Okay.
Well, that's cool that it's got like a couple of different puzzle games in one, so that's awesome.
We're going to read a couple more of our listener comments as well, and then we'll end it with our final thoughts about the device a little bit and games and how we're feeling overall, I guess. Moving on to Gentis. Gentis said, the start and the end were fantastic. The middle, not so much. I actually thought the entire thing, from start to finish, was an even beat for me. There was nothing that blew me away. There was nothing that let me down, and there was nothing that I felt meh about. Everything I was just like, I just want this. Like, I was I never went from like a 10 to a 5 back to a 10, like I think Gentis is kind of saying. I feel like I was at a solid 8 the entire time. How did you feel? How was the flow of the presentation for you?
The flow was pretty good, but there were definite highlights. I mean, it probably, for me, went from, you know, 7 to 10 on a couple of occasions and then back down to 7.
But what was shown that you were, because we already knew about Mario. Obviously, we saw way more Mario than what we saw in that tiny thing.
Yeah.
We saw Zelda, but we already saw Zelda before.
We have not seen this kind of voice acting
in
the trailer yet.
The voice acting
story
was
elements.
Pretty amazing. See, that's the thing is, even though I was super excited,
that was a 10 moment.
That was a 10 for you?
The Zelda trailer, the Mario trailer, and the Xenoblade Chronicles 2 trailer.
I was
tens,
thinking about you the entire
11s,
time.
In
when
fact.
When I saw Xenoblade Chronicles 2, or Xenoblade 2, and I instantly thought of you. I wish they would have shown the battle system in that trailer. I was disappointed.
Well, it seems like it's still pretty early in development, honestly. The only thing I was disappointed about was kind of the weird, like, costume design. Like, the main character wears this really, really ugly
didn't seem to fit the world, right?
Setup. Yeah, that too. Yep. Yeah.
But I think
some of the other characters we saw looked okay, but
I think it looked a little bit early in development as well at certain things. But I'm still stoked. But yeah. So, you definitely had peaks and you had valleys then, correct?
Yeah. Okay. Nothing too bad, though. There were no, what would you call it? Valleys, but no canyons,
No pits, no wild pits.
So it wasn't, well, there were a couple of times when I was just like, okay, let's skip past this. The Suda 51 stuff, actually, like
no.
him.
Let him talk
especially
forever.
Especially with that weird...
All the time.
Especially with that weird translator.
He had a really bad translator.
I don't know, weird stuff.
I feel like...
Oh, Splatoon was another highlight. I loved seeing more about Splatoon 2. Ah, the trailer for that was so good. And the music, I'm buying the soundtrack for that as well, even if I have to get it from Japan.
I wonder how things would have felt if they wouldn't have started with 1-2 Switch. I don't know. Like, even that small thing like made me feel very... Once again, like I think if they would have started with ARMS, like, because remember the guy, he says we have a game for the family and we have a game that's a little bit more in depth with replayability, mm-hmm. and he's like, let's look at the family game. It's like, I just want to see the good game though, and I feel like if they would have shown ARMS first,
the
it
one
would've...
who ordered 1-2 Switch.
Well, yeah, but
is
I had to. I can't order
this?
ARMS. I can't order ARMS yet. It's not out. It's not coming out anytime soon that we know of. So, well, I mean, it's this year.
Yeah, spring was the date for that.
Exactly. So probably sometime in April is what I'm assuming. But
I didn't think that was bad at all, especially since the 1-2 Switch trailer I thought was really, really well done. It just looked like, you know, some really good times, and they had some really good people in it. So much variety, and the music was actually also very good. So the trailer weirdly... 1-2
Switch, yeah.
I mean, I watched it. Yeah, I watched it and thought... And thought, what is this? And I still don't quite understand what it is, but I at least the trailer was well put together.
I agree. I just wonder if that would have sent different messaging. I don't know. Obviously, the FIFA moment with EA going up there being like, we are going to bring FIFA to the Switch this time, and we are very happy as a company to be supporting of Nintendo.
And we came to Japan.
Can
for
I
this.
Go home now? I said what I was supposed to. Like, he sounded, I hate to say it because he was like very sweet. He's like, I named my son Luigi because I love Nintendo. And then he's like, and we're also going to bring this game to Nintendo. Yay. Like, he felt like he had no emotion. He felt like he was
so
very...
now you're admitting that there were low points.
Well, yes, but it's also soccer. I wasn't super excited. Don't get me wrong. Like, I was an even keel 8 with a very small dip to a 7.5 at that moment, I guess. I don't know.
Fair enough.
I wish we could have saw, like, Sega, for instance. I thought it was very funny that Sega gets on stage. He's like, we think this is awesome, and we have a game in development, but we can't tell you anything about it. But then on the release page, you see the trailer for Sonic Mania. Like, why didn't they show us Sonic Mania at the presentation? Like,
yeah.
I thought that was weird. I mean,
trailers,
it's a 2-minute trailer.
That's the best stuff.
It's a 2-minute trailer. It's not like they have to like go 10 minutes talking about how Sonic turns into a ball and spins really fast. Like, that was weird to me. But overall, like I said, like I thought the entire thing was like an 8, like solid all the way through. I just loved, I thought it was a really fun presentation. It was a cool way to end my night. You know, just relaxing for an hour to watch all this stuff. And then the next day at work, watching 5 hours of Switch footage of all these games was a lot of fun the next day.
Yeah, it's been a good time.
Colin Crowder says, Mario Odyssey looks amazing. I am so excited for Mario Odyssey. When
it's so weird and different looking.
It
and
does.
This is, we're talking about Nintendo here. Nintendo's just all around weird and different in a lot of ways. But man, even by Nintendo standards, this is just so zany looking. I think it looks amazing. I'm so stoked for Mario.
There's some really cool looking worlds. It seems like it's going to go, and this sounds kind of cray cray, but it seems like it's going to go kind of open world. I mean, they even said it was a sandbox nature, unlike anything since Mario 64, which obviously was such a small sandbox in today's comparison of anything nowadays. But you look at that realistic world that he was at the very beginning of the trailer, and it did seem pretty large. So it will be interesting. Like, what is this game's? Obviously, the hook is you get on some sort of hat-looking spaceship and you go to different worlds. But what
I can't
is
help
the
but
hub
think
world?
Of the Mad Hatter.
Yeah.
from Alice, the live action Alice in Wonderland, how she's always getting small and writing on his hat or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. They're
not the best comparison. Like, there were some comparisons I made to things from this trailer that I was just like, I didn't really want to think of the Mad Hatter today, that type of thing. But overall, I mean, the trailer was just shot. I mean, woo! I did not realize that Nintendo had that much to show us of this new Mario game.
Really impressed
this quickly.
How long some of the trailers were. For Mario, for instance, and Zelda, which we'll get into, I'm sure, before too long. Zelda trailer was so epically long, and it was so good.
It just built and built.
Yes, I did.
Story-wise, and suddenly you're just like seeing all these dramatic moments, and my heart was fluttering, to say the least.
Mario Odyssey is going to be coming in holiday, which I think is going to be a really, really good holiday game. I'm super excited. Me and my daughter, obviously, we would love to play the Mario games we played. Mario U, for the Wii U when it first came out, we played New Super Mario World when it came out. Like, Mario games for me and her, this did not show any sort of multiplayer functionality, which was a little bit bizarre just because of their recent trend of multiplayer with Mario. So
Karen proves that there is going to be a multiplayer. I tell ya.
Oh, really?
Karen from the original Switch reveal trailer, like at the end, of the trailer. She takes Mario with her, and maybe she changed games, but she does hand one of the Switch controllers to a friend, and it looks like they might be playing Mario together.
Okay, good, because I want to be able to play Mario. It's almost become a tradition at this point. So, we already read Benjamin's comments. Denvi says, unfortunately, the presentation did not urge me to pre-order. I'll likely get it in the fall. I wish that we had more than 140 characters to hear what he had to say, obviously, but I want to know what he was either expecting or what it was that kind of either let him down or didn't push him over the edge. And I would imagine, I don't know for sure, but I would imagine it's the fact that you can get Zelda for the Wii U and you can wait till holiday to get Mario. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing immediate for him. Obviously, Zelda was my biggest, I think definitely the biggest reason I want to get a Switch immediately. 1-2 Switch looks great. ARMS looks like a lot of fun. I already have Mario Kart, for instance. The eShop games, I'm sure, will be good. All that kind of, you know, jazz. So I can understand why he would say, like, you know, it looks good. I'll wait. I can understand that.
I totally get that as well.
We already read Michael's comments. A real-life scientist, he says, how about you switch to a different topic? Well,
punny.
Let's only talk about Sony PlayStation from now on. Ready, Holly?
Good luck getting that kind of...
We'll talk about
Kingdom Hearts, and I guess I could try to play a little Uncharted this week, maybe. I don't know.
I'm busy with
Xenoblade, though. Yeah.
You know, you haven't put enough hours in that game.
Xenoblade Chronicles.
Not nearly enough.
I'm already nearly 100 hours through my current playthrough.
Goodness
so
gracious.
Clearly not enough.
Sakodin says, afraid it's not really great portable size. Maybe a screen cover will help with that. Loving the sensors that are all over the controllers.
I actually like those too. I kind of like the idea of the weird like sensor that can, you know, sense. Nintendo surely at least will put something out that uses that IR camera, like even if it is just a rock, paper, scissors game.
1-2 Switch, I know you haven't seen the gameplay for it yet, but when you watch the Treehouse live coverage of 1-2 Switch, there is a game that takes advantage of the IR sensor.
Mm,
it's funny. Awesome. It's funny. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Ooh.
I want to feel this HD rumble.
Rumble.
The one that you
can
feel. The 1, 2, and 3 ice cubes, and if there's water in it, like I want to feel what that feels like. I think that could be really, really interesting just as a sensation for playing a video game.
Yeah. That kind of ties into the fact that I feel like Nintendo, there were points during the presentation when I thought, like, is Nintendo about to reveal the virtual reality form of this? You know, where, you know, we've had those rumors that there's like a little headset that you'll have that the screen can actually slide into or something like that. And with these Joy-Con controllers, and especially with all the kind of immersive aspects of them, seems like virtual reality. It's not something that I'm desperate for Nintendo to do, but it does seem like a likely thing for Nintendo.
Stay away
and like
from
I say,
Nintendo.
Several moments in that presentation, I was like, they're about to reveal virtual reality, aren't they? Because that's just what it looked like, you know?
There are
don't really care to see virtual reality.
What is your opinion?
I don't really
about,
care to have headaches.
What is your opinion about it being a great portable size or not a great portable size? Like, what? It's a 6.2 inch screen, I believe, is what it was. So it's not terribly larger than your phone, didn't you? You got the Pixel, correct? Did you get the Pixel Plus?
No.
Okay, so
smaller one.
You got the 5.5-inch or maybe just 5-inch screen, one or the other.
Yeah, whatever that is.
But, I mean, if you really look at it, for instance, you had the blue phone before that, the one that I had recommended to you, and that was a 5.5 or 5.3-inch screen. So, once again, like you're not getting too much bigger than these screens, I feel. And you either can do it. Here's the nice thing about it is if the only way you could play it is by putting the controllers on the side, I think that could get annoying. But the fact that you can just flip it and make it basically a small television to play on, I think that's why it's going to be okay.
Yeah. The one thing that I'm strangely worried about, actually, is I'm getting the Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild special edition, which comes with the case that kind of looks like, the case that kind of looks like the Sheikah Slate from the game. And I, you know, Nintendo did like a little hardware review. Reggie was the one who came and showed off the special edition.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and kind of looking at a closer shot of that carrying case for the Switch, I'm like, where exactly do the control sticks go to be, you know, nested kind of comfortably? If you're putting pressure on those control sticks, then couldn't that kind of get them out of whack or something like that, like a lot quicker?
Well, not only that, but imagine you want to take the Pro Controller with you.
Ooh.
So it is, or even
we'll just need like a carrying case for 50 different things if we want to take everything that we want.
We're
with
just
us.
Gonna have fanny that packs all case. Over. Fanny packs and backpacks to carry
fanny
everything
packs
we
are
need.
Oh, come my back goodness. In style. I'm super excited. So that honestly, the portable size thing, it isn't a huge concern for me because I'm getting that nice carrying case. But I do have that kind of odd worry of like, what about my control sticks? Are they going to go all wonky if they're, like, you know, kind of forced into a certain position for a long period of time or something like that? I don't know. That's my biggest concern.
We'll have to wait and see. And I hate to say that because I know I say it a lot when we talk about, like, rumors and speculation and, like, things that we're not completely aware of. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, a lot of this stuff, we could sit here and we could say, like, it will be great. It won't be great. We don't like. We do like. But at the end of the day, like, we really do have to kind of wait for more details, especially about online, especially about traveling, especially about even the games themselves. Obviously, they're very reminiscent of a 3DS game. I want to see them next to a 3DS game just because I don't think I've seen that comparison yet. Oh, and I did want to say that it has 32 gigs of storage, but it's not as big a deal as you might think it is. One, because you can go up to 256 gigs on a micro SD card that's actually hidden underneath the kickstand, but also because the games are saved to the game card, you're not saving file information onto the actual unit itself. You're
Switch,
just saving it directly onto the game card.
Yeah, just keep buying physical. That's what I say. I'm going to buy physical as much as humanly possible. I did a couple of instances of buying digital where I feel like I shouldn't have on the Wii U. Tokyo Mirage Sessions, I really wish I had gotten physical. Super Smash Bros. Couple more, but I am trying my best to get everything physical. So yeah, just keep doing that physical thing.
Yep, and you know me, I only really buy physical unless I have to buy it as a download, so I'm excited for that.
Yep.
The game cards, I don't think they're going to take up a whole lot of like room or space or anything crazy, so I'm not too worried about that. But yeah.
The only concern would be them getting lost, but you know, we've had just, that problem ever since the Game Boy, I would say.
Ever since the Game Boy, it's just buy a nice case
it's
and keep them
new.
All together.
Right.
But I think that's it, Holly. I know you're excited. I'm excited. I'm going to be checking the news every single day for new stuff, and we'll try our best to bring you all the best stuff at the end of the week, as always. And if you have questions or burning concerns or thoughts or something you'd like to let us know, find me on Twitter, because I love Twitter and use it all the time, @OnlyMattDezen. You can also find the official Nintendo Fever podcast and website account on Twitter, @NintendoFever. Check out the website, too, because there's some stuff coming up there that you'll want to know about. And you can find Holly, who occasionally trolls on Twitter, at where?
At Holly Falmouth.
Yeah, only trolling now, right, Holly?
Right. What was the last tweet that I did? It was just asking
it was just
for
to
comments
me, I think.
From
you're
people.
Like,
thanks.
Exactly,
oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I did that one tweet where I asked for comments. And on that note, thanks so much to everybody. We got some really great comments from a lot of great listeners. So thanks so much for continuing to support the podcast by listening and tweeting us and sending us your comments. Super fun to read all of these and talk about them. So yep. A huge thank you to everyone.
Yes, much, much appreciation. And we are Switch is right around the corner, Holly. We got like 6-7 more episodes, and then we'll be talking about playing the actual Switch in our hands. So let
next
us
next week we might be talking about about the Wii U, though, kind of giving it a nice little tribute.
You
so
know
that
what?
Should be a fun time.
That will be a fun time. Fond memories to be spoken about for sure. But until next week, guys, thank you so much for listening. Holly, thank you so much for joining me as always. And everybody else, we'll see you later. Bye.
Bye, everyone.